Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, November 3rd, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The MDCT is criticized for centralizing power around party leader Morgan Tsvangirai at its weekend Congress, a move analysts say shows the party is failing to practice the democracy it preaches.
Of course, one of the resolutions is one uncomfortable where the party leader, Mr. Tsvangirai, becomes so powerful, extent that it's a key determinant of every party decision that is made.
President Robert Mugabe is in Vienna, Austria, at a United Nations meeting preaching regional unity as infighting continues to tear his ruling ZANU-PF apart ahead of next month's crucial elective congress.
Begins to tell us that the factionalism within ZANU-PF is coming to a head, and also that there seems to be an apparent winner in the battle between Mujuru and Mnangagwa here.
And thousands of Zimbabweans graduates struggle to find jobs.
The MDCT wrapped up its National Congress yesterday, with the party making huge changes to its constitution, centralizing most powers around leader Morgan Tsvangirai. Among the raft of changes adopted during the weekend elective Congress was the amendment allowing Mr. Tsvangirai or future party leaders to be the custodian of the party's name, its assets, finances and administration, including supervising all in the movement's leadership. The move is being criticized by some who are accusing the MDCT leader of failing to respect the separation of powers, especially with the Secretary General and the Treasurer General now being forced to report to him as they execute their duties. Another highlight at the Congress was the election of former spokesman Douglas Monzora to the Secretary General's position after beating former Organizing Secretary Nelson Chamisa, who is also the Kuwazana lawmaker. Reporter Jonga Kandemiri caught up with Mr. Monzora, who promises to introduce a number of changes he says will benefit the party.
It is a very, very humbling experience, and I'm very happy that I got that support from the people. But the way I see it, when they gave me that vote, they were not giving me rights only. They were giving me immense responsibilities. So there are a lot of responsibilities, a lot of obligations associated with the office of the Secretary General that I have to discharge. And I have just been having a handover, takeover with Dr. Mashakada, and there is a lot of work that needs to be done. We need to get MDC working again.
There are some who are saying that the post for the Secretary General is now just a ceremonial position, since all the powers were concentrated to the party president. What's your reaction to this?
No, that is not correct. The only thing that the Congress really emphasized on was that the Secretary General must report to the president. And I have no problem with that, because the Secretary General must report to some higher authority, and this higher authority is the president. The previous situation was that the Secretary General could act on his own without consulting the president, without being accountable to the president. Such type of running an organization will lead to anarchy and will lead to splits.
That was the new MDCT Secretary General Douglas Monzora speaking with Jonga Kandemiri from Harare.
I think the important thing is that at least they held the Congress to solve their issues and to deal with the leadership challenges, or to get a new leadership, the new mandate to run their party. And that is a commendable development. Of course, one of the resolutions is one uncomfortable where the party leader, Mr. Tsvangirai, becomes so powerful, extent that is a key determinant of every party decision that is made. The challenge with that is that things only revolve around him, and that does not enhance internal party democracy. And it's a big challenge of many political parties, both ruling and opposition, in Zimbabwe at the moment, where you have this singular charismatic figure who makes determination of party policy without necessarily taking into account broader consensus and debate around the issue.
But do you think this will solve internal problems that the party has been experiencing?
I don't think it will solve internal party problems in a democratic fashion. They will be solved perhaps by diktat, because he now is a key decision maker on any major decision that is made, including party property. But what it does do, though, is that it gives a challenge to all those that are in the national leadership to be able to negotiate and represent the interests of Congress and people around Congress on issues concerning their party, especially in the elections. Because the primary purpose of a political party at the end of the day is to get into government.
That was independent political analyst Takura Jangaja, who says that in centralizing all powers around Mr. Tsvangirai, the MDCT has demonstrated that it is not as democratic as it wants people to believe.
President Robert Mugabe is in Vienna, Austria, at a United Nations meeting preaching regional unity as his ruling ZANU-PF party continues to implode due to ongoing serious factional fights ahead of its elective congress next month. Mr. Mugabe addressed the summit dubbed Landlocked Developing Countries today. He called for regional integration and cooperation and also paid tribute to the late Zambian leader Michael Sata. But the factionalism that he has been trying to address in his party is apparently worsening. Over the weekend, there were violent clashes in Masvingo as a faction allegedly led by Vice President Joyce Mujuru fought with the faction allegedly led by Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa. The clash was over moves by the Mnangagwa faction to oust party chairman, retired Brigadier General Callisto Gwanetsa.
There were also clashes in Manicaland as some youths sympathetic to Mrs. Mujuru demonstrated against outgoing Women's League boss Obam Chinguri for causing friction in the province. In Mashonaland West, where a Mujuru ally, Temba Mliswa, was ousted, the Mujuru team has hit back and removed the pro-Mnangagwa youth chairman Vengesai Musengi for alleged misappropriating party funds. The Mujuru camp is also taking a swipe at Information Tsar Jonathan Moyo for allegedly using the Herald and Sunday Mail to lampoon them. Those who are under fire from the Herald are Mrs. Mujuru, party spokesman Rugare Gumbo, party chairman for Mashonaland East Ray Kaukonde, secretary for administration Didmas Mutasa, and war veterans chairman Jablanis Banda. Mutasa told Studio 7 he's not commenting on the issue at the moment. Gumbo said he was in a crucial meeting. Political analyst Rejoice Ngwenya of the group Liberal Market Solutions told Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that Mr. Mugabe is failing to deal effectively with factionalism in his party.
You know, when they go to their conference, the provincial committees are very critical because they are the ones that determine the power structures. And by the way, the old man is totally not in control of the processes now. So whatever commitment and promises he's making, you know, commissions of inquiries, you know, threats of expulsion, all those are going to fall onto deaf ears until the power structure is determined in December. So we're likely to be getting more and more conflicts as we go towards the crucial time.
But do you think the party will remain united even after the Congress?
I get a bit, you know, disappointed when serious political analysts talk about ZANU-PF splitting. It is very difficult to see ZANU-PF splitting in the sense that outside the ZANU-PF brand, Simba Makoni tried it. It doesn't. As long as you have been branded for more than 8 years around the ZANU-PF, situation, it's unlikely that you are very comfortable outside. People like Jonathan Moyo, very sophisticated political strategist, went out of ZANU-PF. They starved themselves out of political existence and came back. So all the chicanery and shenanigans that are happening will simply shift around. I do not believe that ZANU-PF can split.
That was political analyst Rejoice Ngwenya of the group Liberal Market Solutions speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Meanwhile, Mr. Mnangagwa called for unity in ZANU-PF at the weekend, saying there was no need for infighting along perceived factional lines because he and Mrs. Mujuru were friends. For perspective, we reached political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda.
I think that this begins to tell us that the factionalism within ZANU-PF is coming to a head, and also that there seems to be an apparent winner in the battle between Mujuru and Mnangagwa here, and that Mnangagwa is beginning to take the position of a possible winner here who is trying to build and coalesce everybody, bring everybody as much as possible onto a united party. So it seems to me as though Mnangagwa is preparing a takeover of ZANU-PF by pretending to want to unite everybody else. But this is the kind of talk that you'd expect from both factions, but necessarily from the faction that seems to have the upper hand in fighting.
There are certain individuals said to be in the Mujuru faction, including Rugare Gumbo, Ray Kaukonde, and Jabulani Sipanda, who are being targeted by the Mnangagwa faction. How do you see the situation panning out for especially these three?
I think that the future of these three is nearly impossible to determine this, because it almost entirely depends on how they react to any overtures or any handshakes extended from the Mnangagwa faction to them to lay down their arms, if you like, and join the winning side. But it is almost certain that the Mnangagwa side would like to see some people chopped off their positions and so forth, just to look like the winners.
That was political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda speaking with Ntungameli Nkomo from England.
The MTC wing of Welshman Ncube has petitioned the Speaker of Parliament Jacob Mudenda, Transport and Infrastructure Development Minister Obed Mpofu, and Local Government Minister Ignatius Chombo, seeking the removal of the First Lady Grace Mugabe's pictures from the country's publicly owned Zupco buses. Pilate Ndebele, the MDC provincial chairman for Matabeleland South, lodged the petition on behalf of the party. In the petition, he argues that the first family was personalizing party property. However, a legal analyst, Kucaca Phulu, tells Studio 7 the case does not have any chance and would likely be thrown out with costs.
They would also have to have facts when they go to court. For example, we don't know whether the first lady paid for advertising and whether Zupco has a policy where they allow people to advertise. We know in the past, Zupco or even the old omnibuses used to have Surf adverts, Lever Brothers adverts, Lux adverts, and so buses do tend to advertise from time to time. If somebody has paid, then they can be entitled to do that. But at the same time, you know, in as much as Zupco is a parastata, it has a board. It's a private limited company. It's entitled to make decisions in line with whatever policies they've made. I don't see on what basis anyone else would come and challenge them to say that they cannot put creation government structures on the bus and so forth. I have a difficulty seeing what the basis would be for that kind of public action. If it was a case of Zupco refusing to ferry a certain class of people, then yes, there would be a chance that someone would say, look, it's discrimination and so forth and so forth. My view is that this is the kind of thing that goes to responsible government. If the voters would learn to express their displeasure through the ballot box, the government would know that if they do irresponsible actions like this one, assuming it's an irresponsible action, then the voters would express their displeasure.
Kucaca Phulu is a legal analyst. He spoke on the line with Studio 7 from Bulawayo.
Interviews for Zimbabweans living in South Africa seeking to extend their stay through the Zimbabwe Special Permit began at the weekend, with some applicants reporting some glitches at interview locations. Some, mainly in Johannesburg, reported being turned away after arriving for interviews and being given new appointments 4 days later. Officials say those who failed to complete an interview will be rescheduled as of today. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke to Daniel Mzenda, communications manager of the Zimbabwe Migrants Association, who explains some of the issues applicants have faced.
This has been necessitated by the load shedding, which is here currently here in South Africa. There is a plant breakdown in Mpumalanga, which feeds the whole of South Africa. So the Majura plant is down, so most people who were supposed to have the appointment today, they've been rescheduled to this coming Sunday.
Were there any other reported issues that were happening in other locations?
Yes, some provinces, especially in the Free State, Northwest, Limpopo, and Western Cape, the appointments went on well on Saturday, which was on the 1st of November. But however, in some areas, people started a little bit late. Their appointments were at 8 o'clock, but they started around 11 o'clock. And this was due to technicalities on the VFS system. But however, they were duly served on that day.
What are some of the other issues that permit holders have been facing, particularly truck drivers?
Yeah, there is a challenge, Tatenda, because some of the drivers, they will be out of South Africa up to maybe January, and their appointments are supposed to be, say, in December. So they've got a serious challenge, and we are trying to negotiate with the Ministry of Home Affairs to at least consider their appointments.
That was Daniel Muzenda, Communications Manager of the Zimbabwe Migrants Association. He spoke with Tatenda Gumbo from South Africa.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
university graduates struggle to find jobs.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
The president of Somalia is telling the United Nations to keep out of the country's internal politics. Today's statement from President Hassan Sheikh Mohamud came after the UN envoy to Somalia, Nicholas Kay, expressed concern that lawmakers are being bribed to vote against the prime minister in a possible no-confidence motion.
Germany says the principle of free movement of workers within the European Union bloc is not negotiable. Speaking to reporters in Berlin today, German Chancellor Angela Merkel's spokesman Stefan Siebert said Germany wants Britain to play an active role in the EU, but will not support a British Prime Minister David Cameron's plan to curb immigration from other EU member countries.
And pro-Russian separatists in eastern Ukraine say the acting prime ministers of the so-called Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics have won elections that Kiev and the West have made clear they will not recognize. The separatists held elections yesterday for leadership and legislative bodies in those parts of Luhansk and Donetsk regions that they control.
About 300,000 students graduate annually from Zimbabwe's colleges and universities. But in a country where the official unemployment rate is 10.7% and unofficially over 80%, few may land jobs in the formal sector, while the majority will join the unemployed or informal traders selling mobile phone units, tomatoes, cabbages and other wares on the streets. In the first of our two-part series, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube examines the plight of Zimbabwe's educated but unemployed graduates.
Melody Chikwana graduated from Midland State University last year, feeling very prepared to land a good job. But so far, no luck.
I love doing development work. I can even work for a consultant, help them out with research work. But no one is hiring because no one has money to pay new people.
Chikwana, who studied psychology, says she was not expecting this. Her attempts to venture into the informal sector selling mobile phone accessories ended after police closed down what they termed illegal business entities in Harare. She says she has been reduced to a beggar.
As it is, right now I'm unemployed. I don't have anything to sell. I'm just trying to get by. At the moment, I have to call a cousin or a distant relative, anyone who's willing to help, because I really don't have anything.
Also facing the harsh realities of a graduate is Tinashe Muchaso, who graduated from the University of Zimbabwe in 2011 with a Bachelor of Science degree in Computers and Mathematics. While he was fortunate to find a job as a temporary teacher, he says he is unsettled as the government could terminate his contract any time.
It's a very hard pill to swallow, and it's thorn in the flesh, and it's so embarrassing. Away from that, there's no way you can go, so you have to rely on that.
Those who left to study outside Zimbabwe in countries like South Africa seem to have it even worse. Sabelo, who only gives her first name, is the beneficiary of a presidential scholarship. She says her law degree is almost worthless in Zimbabwe.
We assumed it was going to be easy for us to get jobs even in South Africa. But it turns out with this whole permit issue, it's not easy to come by jobs. With the degree that I studied, I can't still practice in Zimbabwe because I'm required to write some exams with the legal board first before I can practice. Right now, I'm currently unemployed. I sometimes do temporary jobs, say for a week or even less than that. But most of the time, I rely on my parents' salary.
David Sitole, Dean of Students at the University of Zimbabwe, attributes all these cases to the country's poor economy and not the quality of education.
It's not a question of lack of skills. They have nowhere to practice the skills that they have. We train engineers, you know, doctors. Of course, doctors are still getting jobs from the formal sector. But, you know, quite a lot of people who are graduating from the universities are finding no jobs, you know, out there, because there are no jobs.
Sithole adds that Zimbabwe should work to enable companies to create jobs for college and university graduates.
Students are adequately prepared to work outside, even to start their own company. They've got the skills, but sometimes, you know, they cannot do that because of financial challenges. Although they have the skills, you know, our industries are not growing. They are closing down almost every day. So the students have nowhere to go. We need to readdress our economy. Where do they get the capital to start their own business? And industries are closing every day.
But with the unemployment problem not likely to be rectified anytime soon, lecturer Nkululeko Sibanda of Huddersfield University in London says it's maybe time for colleges and universities to start equipping students with innovative skills so they can create jobs rather than look for them.
What our young people are trying to do is to be ready to get a job and be employed by somebody else in an environment where even in the Western world, even the overly industrialized countries, being employed is a difficult task. It is a lot better and a lot more enriching to be innovative and to start something new.
Sibanda says Zimbabwe's education system should take a leaf from some Asian countries like Bhutan, Indonesia and Bangladesh, which are currently nurturing the innovative skills of students at tertiary institutions.
It is a lot better and a lot more enriching to be innovative and to start something new, to build new ideas. And that this type of education is not existent at all in Zimbabwe. But perhaps it is absolutely necessary, and it is going to be the key to Africa or Zimbabwe's problems economically, socially and politically.
But Melody Chikwana, Tinashe Machaso and Sabelo say while they've tried to be innovative, their attempts to create their own jobs fell short due to lack of capital and failure to get low-interest bank loans. This is the dilemma Chikwana faces in her attempt to start agricultural schemes to feed women and children.
The gap is that we don't really know about the programs that are being run by government, the kind of loans that they give to the youth. If I could get an idea of the kind of programs that are out there and funding, I even have a project idea that I recently wrote a little proposal.
Government officials insist that Zimbabwe's education is still highly respected in most nations, despite the exodus of qualified teachers and lecturers. Reporting for VOA, this is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Gibbs. In tomorrow's edition of this story, we will focus on some graduates who have beaten the odds and created their own companies.
Some Mutare residents are up in arms following the rehabilitation of the highway linking Harare and Forbes border post, the country's gateway into Mozambique. The residents are not against the road construction, but pollution, which has been caused by the local authority diverting heavy haulage trucks from the central business district to use untarred roads in the high-density residential areas through detour roads, raising air pollution issues through dust and exhaust emissions. Correspondent Loida Moyo has details from Mutare.
The Zimbabwe National Roads Agency says the road and traffic diversion is temporary as construction continues on the link road. But the residents say the pollution is too much such that they now fear it may lead to the outbreak of lung diseases. Health experts are also weighing in, saying the pollution being caused by the hundreds of heavy haulage trucks poses a serious health risk to the residents of Mutare. Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights says Zinara should have first constructed a tarred thoroughfare for the diversion before exposing residents to such a health risk. Haulage trucks to and from the border post, ferrying loads of timber and fuel, among other bulky cargo, are using a diversion link road passing through residential areas of Chikanga Phases 2 and 3, Benwin, Zimta Park, Dreamhouse, Karika Kalani Kutle, and Nativo Park, raising dust and emitting exhaust fumes that are incensing the residents. The diversion, according to road authorities, is to pave way for the rehabilitation of the Harare-Mutare road linking the Forbes border post to Mozambique. The trucks used to pass through the CBD which has since been a no-go area for the past few weeks. The haulage trucks are being diverted from using Robert Mugabe Highway and are now passing through Magamba Way that leads to Jeff Road and eventually linking to Feruka Road and into Mutare Mashingo Highway at the Mutare Teachers College. The rehabilitation of the road is expected to be completed end of the year. Benin resident Numeta Kanengoni says she is troubled by the increasing air pollution that she says may affect her family's health. Noise pollution is also another problem the residents are complaining about.
The haulage trucks are causing us a lot of headaches. We are having sleepless nights. Our children and ourselves are now at risk of contracting flus and getting TB. They are just passing by daily, and if they could at least pour some water before they travel past to minimize the dust.
Agnes Chabata lives in Chikanga Phase 3. She says besides the pollution, the increased traffic volume in her neighborhood is too risky for children as they might be run over.
Our children are at risk every day since they are passing by in their numbers. We are living in fear. The pollution is just too much. Opening windows is no longer possible in the summer weather. Our gardens are in a mess, let alone our roofs, and the noise is just too much.
Susan Tasangan of Chikanga Phase 2 mentions that their houses are now always in a mess as the dust being raised on their untarred roads by the trucks is settling on walls, window panes, and roofs, making it difficult to maintain a clean home.
Brigade Primary, Irimuno Mamtere.
We have a big challenge with us. Since these big trucks started using this road, we are unsafe from the dust and the exhaust fumes caused by these huge trucks that pass here every day. We are stuck and we don't know what to do. Ah, Shinoneza.
Dr. Isaac Guranungo practices in Mutare. He says residents are being exposed to serious health risks because of the dust and exhaust emissions, adding it does not matter if the exposure was for a short period or a prolonged period. He says people exposed to such pollution may contract lung cancer, tuberculosis, flu, and breathing problems that may be fatal. Mutare lawyer and human rights defender David Tandiri says the residents should challenge Zinara in the courts for exposing them and their families to such a health risk. He adds heavy vehicles are not allowed in residential areas, adding authorities should have first constructed a tarred road to safeguard the well-being of citizens before allowing the trucks to pass through the residential areas.
In terms of the new constitution, the people of Zimbabwe, both the residents and citizens, they are entitled to environmental rights and also the right to health. They are entitled to clean environment, which does not expose them to health hazards.
Lawrence Nyagwande of the Environment Africa EA in Mutare says Zinara is violating the law, adding Environment Management Agency EMA should be actively involved in this case.
I can't run away from it, but at the same time I'm saying if you look at who actually should be directly linked to the issue, it should be EMA when it comes to emissions and dust.
But Kingston Chitotombe, EMA's Manicaland Regional Manager, said he was too busy to respond to queries sent to him. Recently, the chairperson of the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee of Environment and Climate, Anastasia Nglovu, castigated EMA for not being proactive in such cases. The legislator accused EMA of being a toothless barking dog. EMA chairperson Shione Sumpepereki also recently said the agency was working hard to ensure it fulfills its mandate of properly playing its watchdog role on the environment. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Lloyd Damoyo.
And quickly, Sandy, in sports news, in a game that was played at Hatfield today, that is a PSL match between Highlanders and Chiredzi. Highlanders won 2-1. And at the weekend, here are the weekend results. Dynamos 0, Bantu Rovers 0, Buffaloes 1, Caps United 2. I think that's all, Sandy. What do we have?
It is interesting, yes, Chris, when we watch the, you know, what is happening in the Premier League, but unfortunately we don't have much time to go into detail. We'll give you more tomorrow. Now we recap today's top stories. The MDCT is criticized for centralizing power in party leader Morgan Tsvangirai at its weekend congress.
And President Robert Mugabe is in Vienna, Austria, at a United Nations meeting, preaching regional unity as infighting in his party continues.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Sandra Nyaira in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.